This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie, and you will never hear the best aviation story in the world from us.
That's right. Because we only have the worst ones.
Yes, we don't have any.
And joining us is Lieutenant Marissa Gedney of NOAA.
Yeah, thanks. Good morning, and really happy to be here today. So I am part of the NOAA SARSAT program.
Hold it. SARSAT. What is SARSAT?
So SARSAT stands for the Search and Rescue Satellite Aided Tracking. And we, with our partner programs of NASA and the U.S. Coast Guard and Air Force, we run the 406 megahertz beacon. So ELTs are probably what most people listening in are familiar with here.
And GPS tracking has revolutionized your business.
Yes, it does assist with a lot of our tracking that we do. But the main strength of the 406 system is that it is satellite maintained. So in addition to GPS coordinates, there is also triangulation that's done depending on the satellite system that picks up a beacon activation should your beacon need to send out a signal for a distress.
How accurate is the triangulation? Like, does it narrow it down within 5 square miles or 1 square mile or 20 feet?
So that definitely depends on the location of where the beacon activation is. You can get some shadowing due to terrain if you're, say, in the bottom of a canyon. But we do have 3 different satellite systems that are monitoring the 406 frequency. And so those are LEO, low Earth orbiting satellites. And so those will actually pass overhead. We also have geostationary satellites, which look at a large area of the face of the planet, as well as our newest system, the MEO system, medium Earth orbiting. And so those 3 in combination provide global coverage anywhere in the world.
Okay, on average, I don't even know if you can speak to this or not, but how long from when an ELT is activated to when you guys know about it?
So ideally, it should be fairly quickly. So the way that the system works is that, say, you have an ELT in your plane and, you know, heaven forbid you crash, you can either manually activate your ELT or there will be a G switch inside there that will automatically send out the 406. And that signal will then get detected by our satellites, pass through a ground-based system through the NOAA Mission Control Center in Suitland, Maryland, and then onto the appropriate rescue coordination center, which would be either Air Force or Coast Guard in the U.S. And so that should happen in near instantaneous time is the ideal. But again, depending on the location and which satellites are visible, it could take up to 10-15 minutes for that signal to get transferred through.
Well, in the big book, even 15 minutes is fast.
Right, exactly. So.
And what kind of resources do you scramble when you hear one of these distress calls?
So that depends on the rescue coordination center, and some they might have to dispatch local rescue forces as well. So for most terrestrial-based rescues, which are applicable to most aircraft, that's going to be with the U.S. Air Force. And they cover a large amount of area. We have the Alaska Air Force Rescue Coordination Center, and then and for the mainland U.S. as well. And they might have to then get assistance from like the local sheriff's office, depending on the location of where this beacon has been activated.
Is there anything I can do as a pilot who's been, requested by situation to land or crash? Is there anything I can do to improve the odds of you finding me?
Yeah, so the first and most important thing is to make sure that you do have a 406 beacon. A lot of pilots still utilize the older 121.5 megahertz beacons, and that is no longer supported by the SARSAT system as of 2009. So that is used for a homing beacon, so you can actually hear the 121.5 chirps if you're already on site. But that does not get picked up by the satellite system. So making sure that you have a 406 beacon and making sure that it is properly tested and maintained and installed.
And okay. The 406 beacons, they're not that expensive, are they?
No, and it depends on the manufacturer and how many other like bells and whistles you want attached to it. But, you know, the price range is fairly affordable within, you know, $100 to $200, depending on the manufacturers.
Now, I may be totally wrong, but I'm assuming, or I believe, that the 406 beacon will uplink data as well, like its actual GPS coordinates?
So some do come with the option to basically plug into the onboard navigation system on your aircraft, so it can pull GPS coordinates or any other information from that navigation system as well. So that would then be included, if that was an option, on your ELT,
right,
to then be included into the uplink to the satellite. And so that can be used as a support for determining the position of the beacon activation.
Yeah, I would think that would help a lot.
Yes, yeah.
So.
Especially if you come down in some really remote area, you know, or in woods or mountains or something like that.
Yeah.
Well, we're from Pennsylvania, and it's not that we have rugged terrain, but what we do have is if you get into the mountain areas, they're all tree covered. So
right.
If you go down in there, you may not even be visible from the air.
Exactly, yeah. And if you run into that shadowing problem that I mentioned earlier, so now your 406 signal is not visible to the satellites, having your previous positioning and tracking from your aircraft, you know, you can then do a determined position based on, you know, where you might have crashed.
Narrow it down at least.
Of course, the whole idea is not to crash in the first place.
Yeah, well, you know, nobody schedules those in the flight plan now, do they?
Yeah, we actually hope that our system never needs to be utilized.
That's right.
But, you know, it's what we're here for.
Do you still have the bumper stickers? Do you ever see the bumper stickers?
Yeah.
Support SARSAT, get lost.
Yeah, get lost.
We have some newer ones now that say we take the search out of search and rescue.
There you go.
Yeah,
well, I like that idea. Yeah, I'm all for that.
Well, about how many activations do you log every year?
So for activations, in fact, I have some of the numbers here in front of me. So for 2001, we had almost 10,000 alerts within the U.S. area of responsibility. Now, the main issue, however, is that most of those are what are called false alerts. And so false alerts are, as the name implies, anytime a beacon is set off, but you're not actually in distress. And so that can be due to incorrect testing. Some people still try and test their ELTs during the first 5 minutes of the hour, but that's no longer proper procedure. And for hard landings as well, we'll activate the G-switch. And of those almost 10,000, about 400 of those in 2021 were actual distress cases through the year. Yeah.
That's averaging more than one a day, so that's pretty busy. You guys are pretty busy.
Yeah, well, actually, it's the Air Force that's pretty busy for the most part doing the actual boots-on-the-ground response for that.
Right.
Now, this covers worldwide, you were saying. Is this system being used in other countries, or is it just U.S.-specific only?
No, so SARSAT is part of an international program. Four founding countries, U.S., Canada, Russia, France, are the original founders of this program, but we have international agreements around the world to ensure that we do have global coverage and appropriate response in remote areas around the world with the assistance of other countries.
So, in other words, if I were to take my U.S.-based aircraft with a 406 on board, I'd be good anywhere in the world.
Yes.
Cool.
Providing you can get it across the pond.
Right. It's easy. It's called ferry tanks.
Oh, no. Or I thought you meant like put it on a ship.
Well, you could do that too.
I don't know if this is question be your purview or not, but is there any way to test that I've accidentally activated my beacon on after a hard landing?
So it depends on which ELT you have and how you have it set up. Some will have a light or a sound that'll indicate that your beacon has been activated in some way. The most important thing that you can do is when you have a ELT is to properly register it with NOAA. And if you just go online to NOAA SARSAT beacon registration, It's free of charge. You can update your registrations as much as you want. And that includes contact information. So if we receive a signal from an activation, we can then call you and say, hey, are you actually in distress? And you just say, oh, no, I didn't realize it was turned on. You go and turn the switch off and all is fine.
Good. And nobody's angry.
Exactly. Yeah. So long as, you know, we don't have to send SAR forces out to come and get you and waste those resources, nobody will be upset.
Good. Now, do you ever send anybody a bill for something like that?
No, because this is government run. Right. So long as, you know, it was an actual accident and not a abuse of the system.
Let's turn the switch on, see how long it takes them to get here.
Exactly. No. Yeah. And, you know, if something like that were to come up, then it's a number of angry phone calls to try and get them to stop it before trying to foot a bill. Yeah.
Yeah. And before more government people get involved that you won't like.
Right.
Specifically like the FAA, I'm sure.
Or, yeah, whatever.
They would have something to say about it for sure.
So never a dull moment, though, for you guys.
Oh, indeed. Yeah, we wish it was, but you know, there's always something new that comes up.
Yeah, and just when you think you've seen it all.
Indeed.
It's one of those major hold my beer moments.
Yep. Well, I want to thank you, Marissa Gedney, Lieutenant Marissa Gedney from NOAA, for joining us. This has been informative. I'm Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And this is EAA Radio.